was to sit silently in a room full of people. But if you wanted to hang out with Quakers, you got to do it. And for some strange reason, I found myself really wanting to hang out with some Quakers. So there I was, being silent in a meeting house. Totally silent. For periods of time that seemed to possibly stretch to eternity. It's amazing how deafening that silence can be when you're not ready for it. So much space, so alone with my thoughts. But eventually it changed. In all that silence, I found or rediscovered or at least got better acquainted with that powerful yet quiet inner voice. It was pretty amazing at first, like seeing something in a new way that you had just seen so many times that you took it for granted. And over the years, as I returned again and again and again to that silence, I found a depth and breadth in this inner relationship that I never could have imagined in those first terrifying moments. I think we all know that still small voice within that I'm talking about. Call it your conscience, call it the collective unconscious, call it God or whatever you want. But I've yet to meet a person who doesn't know that voice. Who doesn't have at least some fleeting relationship with that inner voice that feels like it brings new information and wisdom to the table if you really pay attention to it. But that's the thing, right? You have to pay attention to it. You have to make a lot of space for that inner voice to open up. And we are really not great, for the most part, with making space for anything these days. I was struck recently by the current applicability of a 150-year-old quote from Henry David Thoreau, who wrote that, "In proportion as our inward life fails, we go more constantly and desperately to the post office." You may depend on it that the poor fellow who walks away with the greatest number of letters, proud of his extensive correspondence, has not heard from himself in a long time. Now, substitute Facebook for post office, or whatever your social media and screen time vice is, and I think you'll get where I'm going with this. The more we look for outside stimulation, whether in the form of a letter, an email, a Facebook status, a tweet, or a poke, the more we avoid our inner voice. And wow, are we ever surrounded by highly effective outside stimulation. In truth, one never needs to be alone with their thoughts again. And while the power of connections across space, time, and difference that these new technologies make possible are incredible, as many of us are learning, they do not come without a cost. And for many, that cost is a very real separation from our inner life. An atrophying, even, of our ability to be in silent conversation with ourselves. Maybe I'm the only one. Am I the only one? No. And of course, it's really easy to blame all the devices that distract us from this inner relationship, but I have to admit, I'm a pretty willing victim most of the time. I wish you could have seen me writing this message, trying to resist the temptation to minimize my Word document and jump back on Facebook or Twitter or ESPN or any of the dozen websites I like to distract myself with. So it was a good excuse to ask myself, what am I avoiding with all this distraction? What am I hiding from? What is it about that inner relationship that keeps me dodging it? Some refer to outer space as the final frontier, the last great unexplored part of our universe, but I would argue that our inner space, despite its constant availability, remains the most uncharted and important to explore. And despite our deeply held feelings that we are uniquely distracted by modern life, this is hardly a new problem. And humanity has created many beautiful spiritual technologies that help us reconnect with ourselves. Meditation, breathing exercises, yoga, prayer, ecstatic dance. These are but a few of the well-known. And of course, amongst that list is the ancient spiritual technology known as the labyrinth. As Don spoke about earlier, the labyrinth is not a maze, at least not in the way we're talking about it, but rather a single path wound within a circle meant to represent the twisting and turning journey of our spiritual life. Some have called it an archetype that we can actually have direct experience of by walking it. That is, each time we make our way through the labyrinth, we symbolically recreate the archetypal form of the spiritual journey. The walk is an invitation inward. With every step you take further along the path, you are invited deeper within yourself. Over the course of the past few days, I have had numerous opportunities to walk the labyrinth as I constructed 5 of them on the lawn around our campus. And soon I will invite you all to do the same. It had been a while since I had the opportunity to take this journey, and it was once again a moving reminder of how powerful that relationship can be if it is nurtured. I've marveled, at the lessons embedded within the labyrinth's twists and turns. Those moments when you feel so close to the end, but realize there's a long way to go still. The way you wind back towards the beginning, feeling like you've made almost no progress, only to suddenly realize you're farther along than you thought. If you want, it can just be a walk, too, a slow, relaxing stroll. But the more you intentionally enter into the journey, the more you allow the outside world to drop away and your next step along the path to become your sole focus, the more it will welcome you back into relationship with that still, small voice within. With that being said, I want to offer just a few instructions and then turn you loose to walk the labyrinth. First off, as I said, when you begin to walk the labyrinth, don't do it at your normal pace. Slow down. Be as deliberate as you possibly can with each step. And when you lose focus, just forgive yourself and come back to it. No big deal. As I mentioned earlier, there are 5 different labyrinths. One of them is to the left, my left, of the trees that line the walkway. So one of them is over here. And it's just in front of the classrooms, and it's for children of all ages who want to just run around and play with the labyrinth. So that one's over there. The other 4 are all to the right of the trees. And the one closest to the building is for people who want to go particularly slow and deliberately, for whatever reason that may be. And the next 3 that you will find as you continue away from the building are all general use. At each labyrinth, you will find a guide who will let you know when it is time to start walking to ensure a good spacing between people. As they will explain to you, when you come to the end of your walk, there is no path out. But you can't go backwards because there'll be people behind you. So simply walk straight out of the labyrinth as quickly as you can, avoiding the other walkers. It'll be okay. It should take about 4 to 5 minutes to make the journey in the 3 general use labyrinths. If you would like to go a second time, that's wonderful. Just please wait until everyone has walked at least once. Finally, in about 10 or 15 minutes, I'll ring the gong and call your attention back to the front steps out there, where I hope we can relatively quickly regather for our closing benediction, and then you can return to the labyrinth or to coffee or whatever you'd like. That's it. Let's go walk.